This episode of Bear Podcast is brought to you by The Average Male Magazine, opening your eyes to the wonderful men around you, and Bear Radio Network, eclectic gay radio 24/7. Bear Podcast, the podcast for Bears and Cubs, episode 203.
Hi, this is Bob Mould, and you're listening to Bear Podcast.
Please listen to me and don't disagree. Even as we fight, it doesn't matter to me. Please listen to me and don't disagree. Even as we fight, it doesn't matter to me.
Everyone, welcome to Bear Podcast. This is Nard, and I'm podcasting here in the suburbs of Houston. You just heard Bob Mould with his song Stupid Now from his newest album, District Line. Many years ago, Bob Mould used to play with Husker Du and Sugar. He's now a solo artist, and he's been touring, you know, to promote District Line. I had the honor of having this gay rock legend at the show. If you have comments, please do call 206-222-BEAR. Yeah, we would like to hear from you. Okay, so here's Bob Mould, and we talked about his music and projects. Hey everyone, this is Nard, and we have a special guest in the show. And he's actually my personal hero in music.
Oh.
And I would like to welcome Bob Mould. Hello, Bob.
Hey, how are you doing today, Maynard?
Great, great. It's good to have you in the show. And you just came from a tour last March in the West Coast, right?
Yeah, I had a four-piece rock band, and we were out the entire month of March doing a tour of North America. It was, to help announce and support a new album that I've just put out in February called District Line, and it was a really fun trip. We came through Austin, I think, towards the end of March.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know I would have gone.
Oh.
I think I was out of town those times because I was...
It was right after South by Southwest week. I think maybe the 21st or 22nd of March. It was a really fun show, and I've got a little Texas history, so it's always good to go back to Austin. But yeah, the tour just wrapped up, and we're actually putting the band back together to go over to Europe in a couple of weeks, and we'll be touring over there for maybe I think it's like 2.5 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's what I've been up to lately.
That's exciting. I mean, you're going to be in Berlin, Paris, and stuff like that.
Oh. Yeah, we got 3 days in Barcelona, which should be fun.
Ooh,
but the tour starts up in Glasgow and works down through the UK to Paris and Barcelona and then up to Germany and Holland. So looking forward to that. It'll be a lot of fun to get back over to Europe.
Yeah, the bars in Berlin are great.
Yeah, I've got an extra day there.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Okay, so let's talk about your new album, District Line.
Like I mentioned previously, it came out the beginning of February. It was a record that I had started writing. I think I'm trying to remember. I think the oldest of the current songs on that record. I started writing in the middle of '05, right when I put out the Body of Song album, and spent about a year and a half writing and recording. And District Line was a record that got delayed a few times.
Oh, okay.
Once on a personal front, I had to take care of some family stuff that sort of knocked my recording schedule out of whack. And then after that, it was just meeting with a number of different record companies to try to find the right people to work with. So that took a little bit longer than I thought. But it's a good, I think for the long time Bob fans, it's probably a fun record. It's got a lot of it's got a lot of the heavy guitars. It's got some of the more acoustic stuff on it.
I love guitars. I like it when you do the guitars.
Yeah, thanks. There's a good amount on this record, and it's got a little bit of the electronica, a little bit of electronic embellishments put in.
Yeah, you've been mixing it in, having
a little less than Body of Song had, and definitely less than Modulate. So it's more of a guitar record, and it was a fun record. People often, I think, ask if the songs are autobiographical or.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but to ask that, I mean, it's a story. What does District Line? What's the story about, of the whole?
Well, it's the first record in many years that I've actually sat in one place and written and recorded, and that's, here in Washington D.C., where I've been living for almost 6 years now, and. I think because of that, it's got a good coherency to it. The content story-wise, it's personal observations on things that have happened not only to me, but that I see happening to people around me.
Okay.
The idea of relationships and how we try to connect, and the things that we do, and the things that work, and the things that fail, and how relationships start and end, and that's the core of storytelling and songwriting, at least in my view, that's what I'm good at, and when I tend to write like that, I get my best results. So for that, I think it's a pretty solid record. The response has been really good, and it's nice little record, I think.
One of my favorite songs there is the opening song, "Stupid Now."
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Can you tell the listeners what's it about?
Well, it's funny, the opening line with the "Please listen to me and don't disagree" is a fairly disarming way to start a record. it's just the typical story of trying being in a setting with somebody and, trying to communicate, trying to get your feelings and thoughts heard and known, and knowing that you're running up against the wall and, mm-hmm. everything that you say sounds stupid at the end. You try to share thoughts with people and they look at you blankly and you go, okay. Maybe I'll just move on.
But yeah, it's great. I mean, I love it. I keep playing it.
And yeah, it's real, real energetic when the guitars kick in. Oh, yeah. Chorus. Mm-hmm. It's got that big sound that I think people like to hear. So,
One more song, though. The "Again and Again." This is a very, I listened to it a couple of times and, oh my God, this is, it's very heartfelt. If I may ask, was this song about a personal experience or maybe somebody else or what?
It's based on a personal experience, but it weaves a lot of different things together. It's not a literal translation of anything that happened, but the technique with that style of writing, that narrative style, when I it's almost like I'm writing a short story, and then I just pick a very, very simple musical motif to put the story on. I've done that with, like "Brasilia Crossed" with Trenton off a workbook, and like "The Last Night" off of "Black Sheets of Rain." I mean, I've had songs like that before that, where it's almost the words are so strong that I try to make the music very simple so that it stays out of the way of the story. And with that song, it works really well. And it's quite a story.
Yeah, actually, that kind of hit me because I, with my partner, I get burned by this when you say, "Put down the cell phone and try to be with me." Yeah.
Yeah. I often worry if that line will become dated as cell phones become obsolete.
Yeah.
It'll be like one of those cute little things, like, "Oh, remember cell phones?"
Mm-hmm. That's right. Okay, so, all right, we're going to go back a little bit, okay, because I've been hearing you since I was in the Philippines. I've been hearing you. Actually, what's funny is we've been covering your songs back in the Philippines, the Husker
Du Times. Oh, my gosh.
Yes. "Don't Want to Know If You're Lonely."
Mm-hmm.
That's, one of your songs before, and we used to play, we were covering, we were a cover band, and we were doing punk and power pop songs, Husker Du.
Husker Du was a decent little band at the time.
Mm-hmm, that's right. So, okay. So with this Husker Du and Sugar before, your music was very much punk and power pop and very, very, very hard. As a solo artist now, and with your new album, District Line, how do you describe your music now?
It's still pop music. And I got into a discussion with somebody the other day about this, and they were like, "How can you call what you do pop music?" I'm like, well, to me, pop music is using the general song structure of, music, especially like British invasion music of the 60s,
mm-hmm.
where there was a traditional songwriting structure that's almost based in religious music. The idea of, when verses and choruses are broken down and, the chorus is the mm-hmm. theme that's repeated through a song.
Mm-hmm.
And something with melody, something with energy, something memorable, and that's how I define pop music, and that's the style in which I try to write. With Husker Du, it went from punk rock to hardcore punk to sort of noisy pop music.
Uh-huh.
With Workbook and Black Sheets of Rain, it was more singer songwriter confessional, maybe more like 70s acoustic music in a way, or maybe even Celtic music.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Sugar was, to me was very much a power pop kind of band. Mm-hmm. To me it sounded like Cheap Trick or something. Very, very short and concise songs that were very direct. And, since then I've sort of branched out and under my own name done a lot of experimentation with different styles of writing and mostly for my own enjoyment. And, from the beginning of 95 when Sugar ended through now, just touring with you know, with musicians occasionally, touring solo occasionally, and just, you know, sometimes revisiting the old songbook, sometimes trying to focus on the new material, and stylistically, it's been sort of all over the place.
Do you like playing acoustic? I mean, just going to a bar and just, you know, play for people.
Yeah.
You just do that.
Yeah, it's a different way to showcase a song, because then it's just words and music, and it's usually those are in more intimate settings, and people seem to really enjoy that. So it's fun for me.
That's true. Andy, when I was talking to Andy, he was telling me that you've been working with Richard Morrill. Yeah, about Blow Off. So what's this gig you guys are doing?
Wow, Blow Off's like the crazy fun party.
okay.
Well, the history of how Blow Off got all going is when I was living in New York City in like 2001, and I left New York in 2002. But in, you know, those couple of years, I was doing a lot of record shopping at a place called Rebel in the West Village, and you know, I was really you know, sort of devouring a lot of electronic music, and that was my whole awakening into, you know, sort of the club culture and all that. They played me Rich's, the Morrell album called Queen of the Highway, and it was sort of guitars and sort of electronics, and it was similar to what I was working on at the time with Modulate. And they were bringing Rich into town to do like a record release party, so I went, and he and I met and hit it off right away, just sort of like two gearheads talking about recording equipment and all that stuff. I ended up moving from New York to D.C. in the summer of 2002, and Rich was one of two or three people I knew lived here.
Okay.
So we got together and started, you know, writing music together, and because I didn't know anybody in town, I suggested that we should throw a party.
Okay. Might as well make
so
a party.
I was like, Rich, you don't get out of the house much, and I don't know anybody, so why don't we throw a party and see if anybody shows up?
Sure enough, there's a lot who came up.
And the first Blow Off event was in January of 2003, and we had decided to have a monthly event where we DJ'd. And, you know, we used to perform live as well. We would perform the songs we were writing with, you know, two guitars and track. But right now, Blow Off is, you know, 5.5 years into being, you know, mainly a dance party right now.
Okay.
Where we DJ and we have live visuals that go along with it. And it's, you know, each month it's the thing I look forward to. I mean, I could be doing all kinds of other stuff, but when Blow Off comes up on the calendar, I'm always excited.
Yeah, you always get there, yeah. And there's one coming up 2 weeks from now, May 17th, right?
Yeah, we've got one May 17th in D.C. and at the 930 Club, which is a for people who haven't been to D.C. before, it's a 1,200 capacity live concert hall.
Wow, that's a lot.
And yeah, we get a lot of guys coming for the, and gals too, but mostly guys that come to the event.
And shirtless.
Sometimes later
in the night.
Some once in a while, every time. But it's we've been up in New York doing the party every 2 months up there, and it's been great. It's really successful in both New York and D.C. You know, we're getting ready for San Francisco in September. You know, we've got our eye on a couple other cities for later in the year. We're hoping that everything works out. So it's really great. It's a lot of fun.
Awesome. Yeah. So Blow Off has they do their own CDs too. I mean, you do your own CDs with Blow Off. This CDs coming out, albums?
Yeah, Rich and I, we had started with writing together, so we recorded an artist album entitled Blow Off, and you could, you know, blowoff.us is our website, so people could go there and see everything that's happening. It's a fun record, you know, like I said, mostly now it's really focusing on the DJ and the remix thing. I've been busy with my touring. Rich has been busy with his new record and, you know, some other production work he's doing. And, you know, it's just, I think for both of us, it's great when we just get to have a party and play music for people.
Yeah. Let me ask you about music sales. Do you find that more fans, more of your fans get the CD more, or just download them via iTunes or via Amazon?
Each time out, it's more downloads. I think it's an age thing more than anything. I think that people, I would say maybe over 30, are used to buying CDs, whether it's at a store or whether it's, you know, through an online retailer. And I think, you know, people under 30 are more inclined to forego the packaging and just have the, you know, have the convenience of, you know, hitting a button and having it 6 minutes later.
Yeah. Oh, that's true.
Or
that's
right. Or hitting another button and getting it for free 7 minutes later.
That is true. That is true. Yeah.
So I think the younger the fan, the more likely they are to download. So that's mm-hmm. that's what I've been noticing.
Yeah. Okay. One thing that my partner also wanted to ask you is Hedwig and the Angry Inch. You were involved at one point, right?
Yeah. When I was living in New York, I was friends with John Mitchell and Stephen Trask, who were the co-creators of the Hedwig project. And yeah, I knew Stephen first through a band. His band was called Cheater.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been approached to possibly produce them. They were on the verge of getting a label deal, and their A&R person had me, asked me to come down and see them to see if I'd be interested in producing them.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew a lot of the songs before Hedwig actually launched as, you know, as the off-Broadway show that
it's the Broadway show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was pretty close with Stephen and close with John, and was there from the get-go with the show. I used to go up on off nights. I lived about lived 12 blocks from the theater. I used to just ride my bike up on Tuesday nights and
mm-hmm.
grab a seat in the back and just watch and we go around the corner for dinner later. And
yeah.
I mean, they're both wonderful guys. That was an amazing time in New York, and that project really was a highlight of my time there. Just being able to be around it and watch it. And then when the movie was being made, Stephen mm-hmm. asked me to come in and play guitars on the soundtrack, which I was glad to help out with
awesome.
That. So that was a really good experience as
yeah.
well.
Actually, I only saw it once in D.C., a live performance of a live
mm-hmm.
show of Hedwig. And yeah, I forgot where it was, but my partner told me about it. There's going to be Hedwig here in D.C. We were visiting D.C. and then he surprised me. There's going to be a Hedwig production. Oh, let's go watch it. So it's awesome. It's the first time and it's an experience.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a great story, and the music is wonderful.
Yes, definitely.
It's mm-hmm. and the movie was a nice extension of the original, mm-hmm. the original idea. So it's,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it was great to be part of that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so So, Bob, okay, we're going to get a little bit more personal if you don't mind.
Let me get a cup of coffee then.
All right, okay. let's talk about some stuff about what you do outside. So, where do you hang out in Washington, D.C.?
Like my normal life, like my blog life.
Uh-huh, okay.
I don't know. I've been here in D.C. for 6 years, and I've been really, really, really fortunate. Just on a very personal note, I moved here partnered, and I was in a long relationship with a great guy, and like they do, it sort of wrapped up, and I decided, I stayed here and sort of resorted my resorted myself, and mm-hmm. got back up and running and got out and started socializing more and meeting new people and trying to build up a different circle of friends.
Okay.
And, I guess, it's funny because this, Bear podcast, so, I had no idea about the bear thing.
Okay. When did you find out about the bear thing?
Well, that's what one of the places was maybe, would have been early, early 2004 maybe. I started going out. A friend of mine was like, dude, you got to get out of the house, you got to go out and meet people, so let's go around all the bars and see which one you like.
Mm-hmm.
And we ended up at a place that had this happy hour, and it was mostly, now I know, bear type guys, just regular
yeah.
guys, wearing mm-hmm. regular clothes and jeans, and I was sort of surprised to see so many guys with beards or goatees, to me, sort of, I think to me, and even to mainstream America, sort of the prototypical, mm-hmm. Gay male was sort of, that more plucked and manicured sort of,
and
well, Will and Grace kind of,
Yeah.
I mean, mm-hmm. that's what we saw on TV.
That's true.
And I walked in, I'm like, wow, everybody's sort of normal here.
Everybody's normal.
Now I'm like not so self-conscious about being you know, all, you know, hairy or whatever, you know, or not looking all buff.
That's true.
And
I believe there are a lot of people who are into that, who really like, you know, big hairy men.
Like what?
That like hairy men, hairy guys.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't, you know, I had no clue, you know, all this time, you know.
Oh, okay.
So I was sort of like, oh, okay, this is sort of nice.
Yeah, actually, yeah, this show is about, you know, having bear celebrities or bear, not bear celebrities, but, you know, bear... bear identifying artists and people who are in the bear scene, or I also cover events if I can. And yeah, and you're pretty much, to me, the bear type that I would say.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's funny because I didn't know, so I guess, you know, as much as I guess I would, I think I got more identified by the bears.
Yeah. I bet.
Than bear identifying, but that, you know, that came later. But
okay.
So but it was just, you know, really good group of guys, and it was like a fun Friday night event. People would go after work and it was a happy hour, and then people would peel off in groups and go have dinner and or maybe go watch a movie, and it was just, you know, nice. It was like, you know. And I thought, well, this is sort of cool, and this is great. And you know, those people started, you know, those guys started to, they knew about Blow Off, but they didn't know a lot about it. So they started coming over to it, and, you know, and then, like, it seemed like the whole thing just fell into place, and it started, you know, the existing bear community really took to what we were doing with Blow Off, and, you know, we sort of, it just sort of, everybody was having a good time.
Yeah. It's all about getting having a good time, yeah. So where do you go there? I mean, do you go to, what bars do you go to, Green Lantern or?
Oh, I go to Green Lantern on Thursday nights. They do like a, you know, they do like an hour of shirtless men drink free. So, you know, I go and drink my club soda and take my shirt off and stand around.
Oh, okay.
It's fun. I know a lot of guys from the gym there, and I know a lot of guys from other things there. You know, it's sort of, it's a kick. We all get a kick out of it. And then, you know, later in the evening, if it's not a school night for everybody, you know, we might go to the Eagle and play a couple games of pool. So
yeah, that's always fun. I was reading then, your blog about Apex.
Apex?
The other bar, the weren't college night thing.
Oh, that was my friend dragged me to that. That was a one time deal.
Oh, okay, one time. I'll go back to it.
I was just like, oh my god, I'm like 30 years older than anybody in here. What's going on? There's a Friday night event that some of the guys who I met at the original Bear Happy Hour years ago, you know, we've stayed good friends, and you know, at the beginning of the year, the sort of, I guess, the Bear Happy Hour that we had on Fridays at a bar, the bar closed down sort of unexpectedly, and we had to regroup and relocate it. So we moved it over to what was a former sort of twink bar. And I remember the looks on their faces the first night that there was like 30 of us over there. The manager was like, "What the hell's going on?" You know, and then the next night, the next weekend, there was like 60 people, and they were like, "Yay!" And now it's two floors and it's packed and it's mad craziness.
It's, awesome.
It's huge. So it's good. So we took that over. You know, I guess that's mostly it. I mean, there's other neighborhood drinking bars, you know, gay bars that I'll drop in to once in a blue moon, but you know, I pretty much go to, you know, do my thing at Cobalt on Fridays and Lantern on Thursday, and then, you know, maybe the Eagle on occasion. So
right now you're single.
No, I'm seeing somebody right now.
You're seeing somebody. Oh, yeah. Okay. Maybe you can shout out to him later or something. You might be listening to this.
Yo.
Okay. So actually, my partner is a big fan of yours, and he said that he couldn't have gone through college if it weren't for Husker Du.
Oh, it's very sweet.
Yeah, and he was actually excited that I'm gonna have you as a guest in the show. And like I said earlier, we were, you know, pretty popular in the Philippines.
Uh huh.
That's where I came from. So.
Uh huh. And then how long have you been? You're near Houston, right?
Yes. Actually, in the U.S., I've been 10 years. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
10 years. Actually, 10 years yesterday.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah,
excellent.
Thank you. And Oh God, make me feel so old too.
Yeah,
I know. Back in the '80s, yeah, when we used to play punk band, I used to play in a punk band, and yeah, we were playing the Descendents, and we would do cover songs, and So yeah, and of course, Husker Du, we used to play it.
Well, you know what the funniest and sweetest thing that's happened to me in the last couple of years is.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, Blow Off is more of a dance night, so we get guys that are, you know, more into going out at the clubs and stuff. And the most touching thing is the guys like coming up to me when I'm just mingling, when I'm not DJing, that are, you know, in their early, you know, late 30s to late 40s, you know, sort of my group of people, and coming up going, you know, you probably don't know, but I used to go see Husker Du all the time, or I used to be a big Sugar fan, and I mm-hmm. can't believe that we're all like sort of back together doing this thing, mm-hmm. you know, meaning Blow Off. And it's really been sort of touching to me how it all came full circle with that, you know, unexpectedly.
Yeah.
I think in the 80s there was a lot of people that were into the hardcore punk and, you know, the stuff that you were mentioning, Descendents and all that, you know, we're gay kids, and mm-hmm. you know, now, you know, years later, we're all back together under a different umbrella, and it's pretty amazing to me.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, very, very fortunate.
Yeah, I have a favor actually. Can you probably shout out to my partner Mike, because it would be great. Like, maybe Mike, I want to touch you inappropriately or something like that. I don't know.
His name is Mike. Mike, I want to touch you inappropriately, but your boyfriend's too sweet, so I can't do it.
Oh, okay. Right. You like that. Yeah.
All aboard.
Road trip.
Come on, get on the bus.
This is going to be awesome.
Yeah, let's go.
Taking on the road.
Yeah.
And away.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Bearapalooza, the original Bear Music Festival, is taking the show on the road in 08 for the Bearapalooza Road Trip, featuring the talents of over 25 Bear-identified performers.
Like Big Nut,
Freddie Freeman,
Josh Zuckerman,
Martin Swinger,
Kendall,
Michael West,
Naked,
Ron Morris,
Future Villain Band,
many, many more.
The Bearapalooza Road Trip rolls through the Northeast May 2nd through May 11th, making stops in
Boston, New York, Baltimore, Washington, D.C.,
Raleigh,
with special event performances at Bear Trek in Rye, New York, and Bears on Liberty Weekend in Philadelphia.
Visit www.bearapalooza.com for details on all the shows, the artists, videos, sponsor information, and much more. Be a part of the Bearapalooza Nation.
Woo!
Yeah!
Woo-hoo!
Yeah, it's really great to talk to you at last, a rock legend for me. And I really wish you good luck on your European tour.
Yeah. Thanks, Maynard. I'll try to have a little fun in Barcelona for you.
Oh, awesome. Okay, just let me know. Yeah, I got you in my MySpace, so I should message you there or something.
Excellent.
Okay.
Well, good deal.
Well, thank you very much, Bob, and I really appreciate you being in the show again. And we'll put the dates and links on the website on details of your tour and
great.
Links to Blow Off and how can people get your CD.
So, excellent.
So it's myspace.com/BobMold, or just go to BobMold.com.
Excellent. Thanks. Awesome.
All right. So, yeah, thank you very much, and I hope you have a great day.
All right. You too, Maynard.
Bye-bye. Okay. Bye-bye.
Wow, that was an awesome interview. Yeah, it's really an honor to have Bob. So we're going to close the show with Bob's song called The Silence Between Us. Just go to BobMold.com to check out all his other music. So if you guys have any comments to the show, send your emails to bearpodcast@gmail.com or leave a voice comment at 206-222-BEAR. That's 206-222-2327. Leave your voice comments and we'll play it in the show. Visit the official website at www.bearpodcast.com. Subscribe via iTunes and, yeah, please leave a review there. Dig us on dig.com and go to myspace.com/bearpodcast. Or if you have an iPhone, go to bearpodcast.com/iPhone. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And we'll catch you guys in the next episode. Many wolves and many hugs.
There were trails of fallen trees, deciduous and weeding marsh. The lowland birds and crickets roared the final sound of fall along the banks. the footbridge, entering the wilderness, following my footsteps. The silence, the sweetest is the time when I can hear the thoughts on your mind, yeah. Beyond the panic and worry that seems to consume most every thought, there lies a calm and steady hand that someday you might see. Perhaps it isn't what you wanted, or even what you're looking for. But once you see the symmetry, once you see that you and me, the silence, the sweetest is the time when I can hear the thoughts, thoughts on your mind, yeah. The words will disappear. What thoughts are on your mind, yeah. You park the car outside the Holiday Inn. We cross the highway single file, and you were walking in.
Oh yeah, it's allergy season. Yeah, I myself am. It's a little bit raining here right now in Houston.